Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The SGPN Fantasy Baseball Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, and get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am Blake Meyer, as always, and I am joined by my co-host, Ryan Gilbert. Ryan, how you doing today, bud?
I'm doing fantastic here. I know we got a few things to touch on before we get into all the hitter news, but Trey Turner is a Philadelphia Philly officially. He got offered more money by the Padres, but he kind of came to Philadelphia to play with Bryce Harper, reunite with Kevin Long, and he took a lower AAV, so the Phillies can build around him. So, yeah, very exciting here. It's a good time. Hot stove heating up. It's the best time of the baseball offseason.
Hell yeah, you were so excited to see him go to the Phillies. It's something we've been talking about for a little bit. It seemed like the writing was on the wall that was going to happen a little bit ago, but I am really surprised that he took such a significantly less deal to play with the Phillies, but we will get into that. First of all, I want to start with some of these pitchers, because there has been some big-time moves that have happened since the last time we recorded. Probably the biggest so far would be DeGrom going down to Texas. How you feel he's going to do out there in Texas?
Yeah, we last recorded on Thursday, I believe, and this went down on Friday night. I'm just kind of amazed that he was able to get a five-year deal, but the Rangers do seem desperate there in that AL West to compete with the Astros and the Mariners, too. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to with the Angels. We talked this before, but yeah, this is I think Texas is more of a pitcher's ballpark than, but also Citi Field was too. So it's not really that much of a difference. Probably the competition there is similar, because I mean, you have the Braves and the Phillies and the NL East, you have the Houston and Seattle in the AL West. It's just a matter of if he can stay healthy. I don't know if this really changes much for his fantasy value for me. He's still one of those guys that, you know, maybe if he drops a little bit, you could take a flyer on just due to his injury issues. But yeah, this is something where Texas wanted that big swing. They went out 5-year, $185 million for DeGrom, and hopefully for their sake, it pays off. But I can see it definitely being a bad contract as soon as this next season.
Yeah, it's all going to come down to if he can stay healthy, which I hope he can, because I feel like a healthy DeGrom is really good for baseball, and we haven't got to see that since 2019. So it's going to be tough just because he hasn't been able to stay healthy for, what, 3 years now? So counting on him to be healthy this year doesn't seem like the best idea. But, I mean, Texas is out there balling with that oil money, trying to freaking bring in all the damn big name players they can. They got Seager and Simeon last year. They got DeGrom this year. They're more than likely still out there shopping for players right now, because it's the winter meetings, and winter meetings are active as hell. Apparently, I would love to be there. It seems like it'd be so much fun, even though I wouldn't even be a part of anything. I'd just be fucking wandering around, probably drunk as shit, but enjoying the hell out of it. But at Globe Life Park, it's actually more of a hitter's park. I was trying to finish this damn article I've been writing for like a week now. It's a free agent article, and it seems like every time I finish it and I think I'm done, another big player signed somewhere, and so I gotta add another person onto the article, and then before I get done, somebody else gets signed. So like, we had Josh Bell today, so I'm gonna have to add that into the article as well. It's a never-ending cycle. But in terms of like home runs, Globe Life Park and the park factors, it was fifth worst in terms for pitchers, giving up home runs. And DeGrom was kind of susceptible to giving up the long ball this last year. So he could be one of those guys that has a year where he strikes out a shit ton of batters, but also gives up a bunch, kind of like how Scherzer tends to be. But, I mean, even then, the AL West, they had three of the top 14 worst strikeout teams, or three of the top 14 worst. This is like a tongue twister. They had three teams in the top 14 for worst strikeout rates last year. So, like, the AL West has a lot of swing and miss guys. So I think it could be pretty beneficial for DeGrom next season.
Yeah, he'll definitely continue to rack up the strikeouts. I mean, he had over 100 in only 64 innings this past season. He just continues to pretty much have that pace, a Ks per nine of 14.3 in each of the last 2 years, 13.8 in the 2020 shortened season. So, yeah, he's going to get the strikeouts. Yeah, looking at the ballpark factors, you brought up a good point. Texas is definitely more hitter-friendly. Citi Field is one of the most pitcher-friendly, even though they did move in that left field fence after it was built. So yeah, this might be a situation where it's a wait and see. I mean, DeGrom is still Jacob DeGrom. He's going to get the strikeouts, but he's definitely going to take a hit on getting those wins. And that was something that he even struggled with the Mets, because their offense wouldn't do anything for him. So I think I'm going to go back to this downgrades, I think, DeGrom a little bit. I mean, obviously going from a good team and a good pitcher ballpark to a not so good team and a hitter ballpark. But I think he's obviously still one of the best pitchers in baseball, but he's going to be someone to be a little bit more wary about in your upcoming drafts. On the other hand, if you like DeGrom, if you're in a keeper league and you have off-season trading, maybe go out and try to make a deal for him while people are getting a little scared about his contract. You can swoop in and get him by low, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's not a bad idea. I mean, I don't think he's going to win a whole lot of games in Texas next year. I know we posted on our Twitter. You can go ahead and follow us at SGPN Fan Baseball on Twitter. We posted asking how many wins we thought you guys, or how many wins you guys thought DeGrom may be in for next season. And we had Munaf and Malcolm both commented, they think about 10 for DeGrom next season. Munaf is a little bit of a Rangers hater since he's an Astros fan. So that may have swayed his opinion a little bit, but I don't think 10 is far off. Like, it seems like one of those 10 to 12 DeGrom win seasons like he had for the Mets there for a few years. And that may hinder his value a little bit, but the strikeout numbers he's going to put up this year, and he never really walks a whole lot of hitters. So he's definitely a buy low target heading into next season.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, the Mets lost out on DeGrom, but a few days later, they went out there and got the other best pitcher on the market. Justin Verlander signed a 2-year deal with a third year of mutual option with the Mets. Kind of just, I guess, replacing DeGrom there on a shorter term deal. He's up there in age. He's going to be 40 in February, but he had the best season of his career coming off of it with the Cy Young World Series. And yeah, Verlander, I think, is probably going to benefit from pitching at Citi Field, because that's a pitcher-friendly ballpark, and this is just going to help him out and maybe be able to maybe we'll see him in a major market for the first time in his career. Now, Detroit's not quite up there with the New York or LA or even Chicago or Philly or Boston, but now he's going to New York, the Big Apple. They got the Apple there out there in the outfield, so we'll see how he performs. So what do you think about Verlander to the Mets?
I think it's going to go over really well for him. I think it's kind of an odd trade-off for the Mets, because DeGrom does have that injury history, and that may have turned them off a little bit from bringing him back. But to replace DeGrom with a 39-year-old pitcher that you're paying a shit ton of money to per year, this seems weird to me. But Verlander has had arguably the best success of his career against the NL East. So it makes it really intriguing, because in 16 career starts, he's 12-2 with a 2.14 ERA and 116 strikeouts against NL East teams. And bringing a guy in that has that track record of success in real life baseball, it's going to go really well, especially since he's probably going to be the number two on the team, with Scherzer being the number one, so that he could have some more beneficial matchups. And then in terms of fantasy, as long as he stays healthy and Father Time doesn't show up, he's going to kill it next year with that lineup, that ballpark. He's in line for a major, major year.
Yeah, Verlander is going to be probably one of the first starting pitchers off the board. You know, maybe not, because looking at those ESPN rankings again, he's 18th overall. It's the 10th starting pitcher. I mean, so.
Oh, wow.
He definitely moves up in my rankings going to the Mets. I would put him above. They have Urias above him, Shane Bieber, Max Scherzer. So, yeah, he's probably in there 13th overall, 7th pitcher with Scherzer. But, yeah, Verlander is going to be a he pitches well against the NL East. And, you know, he has fresh in his mind that win over the Philadelphia Phillies in the World Series. So, you know, he has good memories there pitching at Citizens Bank Park as well. And just got a notification. We were talking about the Rangers. They signed Andrew Heaney to a 2-year, $25 million deal. I don't think Andrew Heaney is good at all. I mean, he was fine with the Dodgers, 3.10 ERA, FIP of 3.75, career ERA over 4.5. I guess he'll be the 4 or 5 for them, but that's not the 1-2 punch of DeGrom and Heaney.
Not at all. And I mean, Heaney's at least better than what John Gray they got out there, the dude that's always supposed to be good but has never been good. So, I mean, maybe he's an upgrade as a I don't even know, like a number 4.
They got Gray, they got Odorizzi, they got Martin Perez back. Glenado was a good strikeout pitcher for some props. But, I mean, he's not very good yet. He's still kind of young. So yeah, Heaney will probably end up being. They have Gray, Odorizzi, Heaney, and those are all like 3-4 pitchers. So it's gonna be DeGrom, Perez, and then a bunch of guys they're hoping about.
Yeah. That seems like every Texas Rangers lineup every year, just like one or two good guys. And then a bunch of guys, you just kind of, you hope, you pray that maybe today's the day they figure out how to be good at baseball or do baseball good. But yeah, I think Andrew Heaney, just to stick with him for just a second, it'll be a okay place for him to be in Texas. He's somebody like I've never really gotten excited about Andrew Heaney.
You're expending way too much brain power on Andrew Heaney right now. I just wanted to throw it in there.
It's hurting my head. But yeah, to jump back to Verlander, I agree with you on Verlander like being that 7th overall pitcher range. I think this is a bit of a boost for him. I mean, playing Houston was awesome, and obviously he did really, really well out there. But being the 10th overall pitcher seems too low, especially going to a place like New York. So yeah, I think this ends up being a really good move for Verlander next season.
Yeah, and there were some rumors that Verlander would maybe go to the Dodgers. The Dodgers obviously did bring back Clayton Kershaw on a 1-year deal. I think that's been out there for a while now. So not really much news there, and not even much of an impact because he's just staying where he's been. You know, good to see him stick with the Dodgers. Hopefully he can just finish out his career there and make up for maybe some of his playoff demons.
Yeah, maybe just like Verlander did this last year, maybe this is the year that Kershaw gets to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he stayed in Dodger Blue myself. He's one of those guys you really don't want to ever see play anywhere else, whether you're a Dodgers fan or not. He's just one of those guys that, like, he's been there so long and he's been so good for so long that you just kind of want to just see Kershaw end his career there. I mean, he was good this last season. I think he had 12 wins. It's like he's still somewhat fantasy relevant going into next year. He's always kind of iffy because injuries do kind of slow him down fairly consistently these last few seasons. But yeah, there's some relevance there. I think he'll look good in that Dodger blue next year, and a decent middle round pitcher probably for next season. Mm-hmm. But another guy that's going to be on the move, we're still waiting to see where he ends up, is Carlos Rodon, the strikeout king of 2022. Rumored to want a 6-year deal. Would you sign Rodon to a 6-year deal if you were GM anywhere?
No, he's only had 2 good seasons, and he might get a 6-year deal, but I mean, DeGrom got a 5-year deal. I mean, he has been great the past 2 seasons. Like you said, the strikeout king had a strikeout case per nine of 12, 237 and 178 innings. Had a good year with the White Sox before that too. So, you know, maybe he's proven himself that he can be a better pitcher than he was early in his career. Maybe he's figured something out. I'm not sure if you have any spin rate stats or anything for that, but I know that I saw the Rangers were still going to be in on Rodon after they got DeGrom. I don't know if this Heaney signing would affect that. I don't know if Rodon could possibly just go back to the Giants, depending on what happens there with Judge, or if he can go back to somewhere like the White Sox, you know, maybe not because they got Clevinger, but I don't want Rodon on the Phillies. I don't want them to go out and get him. I mean, I would prefer someone like Chris Bassitt or other people that are slipping my mind right now. But yeah, Rodon, he's been fine. I mean, he pitched well in San Fran, which is a very pitcher-friendly ballpark, especially for lefties, I'm assuming. Then you get more right-handed hitters. And then, yeah, I mean, six years would be a lot. He is only 29, about to be 30 in a couple of days here. So maybe he will get that, especially seeing how these older pitchers are able to progress later in their career with DeGrom, with Verlander, with Kershaw getting better with age.
Yeah, just a quick look at his Baseball Savant page. I don't know what the hell, I'm trying to like quickly look while we do this, but I don't know what the hell he did in 2021 and 2022, but his four-seamer in 2020 had a run value of positive 2 runs, which is terrible. In 2019, it was positive 8. In 2018, it was positive 4. And in 2021, it was worth negative 26 runs. And in 2022, it was worth a negative 22, which made it like the 7th best pitch in all of baseball for his four-seamer. So he did something these last 2 years that really, really, he really figured out that pitch. He has a solid slider as a secondary pitch, which is worth, this last year was negative 9 runs, still really good. That makes it a plus pitch there. But yeah, he's somebody that he has good stuff these last couple of years, but he's only, well, he's gone over 180 innings like once, I think, ever. And so you're going into this hoping into like this potential 6-year deal, hoping that he can be some kind of ace that consistently becomes an innings eater. But I almost think it might be too late in his career for him to just, I mean, he's 29, but like just all of a sudden he's an innings eater. Like out of nowhere, I don't know. I just, he seems like somebody that needs to settle more for like a four-year deal. You'll probably get decent money, but he hasn't proven over the course of his career to me that he can be this dominant nonstop. So him wanting 6 years, I think, is going to really limit the amount of teams that come knocking. But he's going to land somewhere, and he's still probably going to be a top 20 fantasy pitcher, but where he lands is going to determine if it's the bottom 20, like towards the bottom of that top 20 or more towards the top.
Yeah. I'm looking at his Baseball Savant page here, looking at his pitch mix. Looks like earlier in his career, he was kind of more even through the sinker a lot, through the changeup much more than he does now. In 2022, it was basically fastball 61%, slider 31%, and then curveball changeup just barely 5.7 and 2%. Similar for the year before as well, with a little more changeups there. So maybe he's just figuring out his fastball is his best pitch. He's going to pound it. Well, and it worked last season with all those strikeouts. So yeah, Rodon's going to be a guy that I think, you know, maybe you could see him betting on himself and taking a short-term deal, but there's enough teams out there that need pitching that someone will probably overpay for him.
I agree. I hate that I always end up saying that. I catch myself doing that so much. I agree. You know what? Well, I just love the stuff that you say on this podcast, and I tend to agree with you a lot.
It's a pretty good podcast. You guys check it out, the SGPN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Yeah, Rodon can hopefully help some team win here that he can sign with in the offseason. And if you want to win, why don't you check out WinBet? Ready to win money and boost your odds? WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Win Rewards on WinBet. Looking to get involved in a same-game parlay? WinBet is your home with their WinBet Build Your Own Bet, letting you customize the bet you want to make. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. WinBet has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, win $100. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We're also sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. We're back with Underdog Fantasy, and if you haven't signed up already, you can still get a 100% deposit match up to $100 when you use the promo code SGPN. Just go to underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit match. Underdog is great for their weekly battle royale format, as well as getting an early start with their playoff best ball for fantasy football. There may even be some early fantasy baseball stuff on there. Maybe we'll have to do some drafts on Underdog. So yeah, make sure you get to underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN to get a deposit match up to $100.
All right, I know we talked about pitchers in the first half because pitchers have kind of dominated much of the free agent talks lately, but there has been a couple of hitters that I want to get to. We will get to your boy Trey Turner, but before we get there, I really want to cover Josh Bell. Just because that happened maybe an hour before we started recording this. He is somebody that I know my father, shout out to my dad, he was huge on wanting Josh Bell to the Mariners. That was like his number one free agent that he wanted this offseason. Josh Bell hits the hell out of the ball. He struggled in the second half of last year, which may have turned some people off. He only hit 194 in 62 games in the second half last year, but he's proven in the past he's a 30 home run guy. He's not going to hit for a massive average, but he'll hit for about 260. He signed a 2-year deal with the Guardians. I guess I should point that out. But yeah, 2-year deal with the Guardians. He's going to slot right into that lineup. They always seem to have people on base. Oscar Gonzalez, Stephen Kwan, Jose Ramirez, all those guys just consistently get on base. And I mean, he hits really well with men on base. He hit 264 with men on base last season. So I think going to a place like Cleveland may actually boost his fantasy potential for next season, because going to a place where you can hit with a lot of guys on base in a little bit lesser of a division than he was in at the end of last year with the Padres. Where do you think he ends up kind of going in the 2023 fantasy drafts?
I don't know about that. I haven't looked too closely at that. But yeah, I think you mentioned how you wanted him on the Mariners, or Mr. Meyer there wanted him on the Mariners. I think, you know, Carlos Santana is like a Walmart version, I think, of Josh Bell. Switch hitting, first baseman, can DH. My only worry or question with him, he really struggled with San Diego, only hit 192. I don't know if he just couldn't get settled in there, or if it was maybe the pressure of like a playoff chase or what it was. But I mean, he's going to be hitting in the middle of that Guardians lineup with, like you said, Ramirez. You know, they got Stephen Kwan, Rosario, Andre Jimenez, Josh Naylor drops down in the order now. He has a big back, and it's some home runs. So this is a good pickup there for the Guardians. Looking at ESPN's two early fantasy baseball rankings, let's see where they have him. They have Josh Bell at 70th overall. The seventh first baseman, which kind of seems high to me. He's just above
Reese
Hoskins, just below Jose Abreu. So yeah, that's about the sixth round. I don't know if I would take him that high. I mean, he was okay in Washington last year, had a good year in Washington the year before, had a great year his final full year in Pittsburgh. But yeah, Bell, I think, is going to be one of those group of first basemen that, like, if they drop down to maybe like round 8 or round 9, you pick them up. But I would not be reaching for Josh Bell as of now.
You know what? You make a good point. You turned me. I was very hopeful of Josh Bell on the Guardians, but the more that I look into this, when you mentioned that maybe it was the pressure of the playoff push, one of the good things about Fangraphs is I can see the stats for literally like whatever the fuck I want. In high leverage situations last year, Josh Bell hit 208. Ooh. In medium leverage, he hit 238. And in low leverage, where the plate appearances don't really matter, he hit 299. So he was a really good hitter in the low leverage situations. But kind of the tougher the situation it was, the worse
he performed. Like, I hate that 208 in high leverage numbers. I don't like that. Like, it was only, what, 48 at-bats? But I can't take a guy as the top 10 positional player if he's going to struggle like that with people on base. And looking even farther, like, his barrel rate dipped to 7.2%, which is the lowest since 2018. Average exit velocity, 88.9 miles an hour, which is almost the second lowest of his career. It was 87 back in 2017. His contact seemed to change drastically, like only 40.8% hard hit rate. Like, he does walk quite a bit. The 12.5% is cool, and he only strikes out 15.8. So, like, in points leagues, maybe he gets a little bit of a boost. But, yeah, I don't know if I necessarily like him at that point this year. Like you said, he was above Rhys Hoskins. I like Rhys Hoskins more than I like Josh Bell next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And, yeah, those stats of the high leverage stuff is definitely something that is good to point out because, you know, maybe going to the AL Central will help. You know, AL Central had that pretty much race to the bottom to not to for the division crown there. I mean, the Royals, Tigers, Twins aren't all that great, and the White Sox, I mean, they have Cease, but their pitching staff after that is iffy. So maybe the change of scenery helps him, but I do think this is a better baseball addition than a fantasy baseball addition.
Yeah, in fantasy wise, I think this might take him out of my top 10 at the position. He'd be somebody that I'm not going to draft anywhere near his ADP. But if he does fall, like you said, like maybe like 10th, 11th, 12th round, and he's still there, he might be a guy that, okay, I can add him in there. But otherwise, I don't see myself really drafting him this coming year.
Yeah, just a quick offshoot to that, I'm looking at ESPN's top first baseman, and first baseman might be a weak position now. I mean, we have
really
you got Vlad, Freeman, Alonso, Olsen, Goldschmidt, Abreu, Bell, Hoskins, and you have Cronenworth, who also plays second base, Nathaniel Lowe for the Rangers, who's basically he had a good second half, I think. Yeah. And Christian Walker's the 11th best. Arias, who has some rumors around him, is the 12th best. So, like, in a normal league, those 12 first basemen are the top first basemen. Wow, and I guess guys like Rizzo, Pasquantino, Ty France, CJ Crone, like, first baseman used to be like when we started playing fantasy baseball 10, 15 years ago, like, okay, you can just wait and get a guy late that'll hit 25 home runs for you. But now,
It
might be a position to grab.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, even off that list you just mentioned, like, I like Mariners homer in me. I like Ty France better than Josh Bell. I like,
no, you don't.
Vinny,
come on.
Pasquantino. I like Vinny Pasquantino better than Josh Bell. I like CJ Crone. I like anybody for the fucking Rockies better than Josh Bell. Like, there's a lot of those guys that you mentioned outside the top 10 that I would happily take over Josh Bell going into this next season. I don't think we've ever really had a really strong stance on not liking a guy as much on the podcast yet, but I feel strongly about this. Like, I'm out on Josh Bell.
Maybe we'll have the anti-Lars Nootbaar effect and he'll just have the best season of his career now. But yeah, no, even just us talking about that for 2 minutes, I'm excited to do some positional ranking podcasts in the coming weeks and months. It should be exciting.
I cannot wait for that. Especially I want you to, like, whenever we do it, a little behind the scenes talk here. Whenever we do it, I want you to do your top ranks and I'll do mine. And then we're just going to come to the pod and we're going to compare them, like, just compare them.
Absolutely.
And see where everybody sits.
I'm not sure if you listen to, or listeners listen to, the Hockey Gambling Podcast, just NHL Power show from 2 weeks ago. Like, we all came in blind and just started and then had a good conversation. So yeah, we'll definitely have some positional rankings podcast episodes coming for you. Probably once free agency dies down a little bit.
Yes, we will. And speaking of free agency dying down, it's not dying down right now because your Phillies signed my favorite free agent of the 2022 free agency period, Trey Turner, 11 years. The man is there till he is 40. Talk to me about Trey Turner.
I just love this signing. I mean, I think the Phillies, when Harper's healthy, are going to have possibly the best lineup in baseball, possibly the best lineup in Phillies history. And just any way you slice this lineup, any way you put one through six, it looks good. I mean, Turner's going to be at the top. I mean, I'm looking at Fangraph's projected lineup, though. It does have Schwarber leading off, then Turner second, which could be interesting to get that big bopper top of the lineup. But Trey Turner here is just a fantastic addition for the Phillies. This is exactly what they needed. They needed a top of the order speedster, hits 300, which is just crazy nowadays to get someone that hits like that. Plus has some power, 21 home runs, 27 stolen bases last year. And those rule changes with the bigger bases to cut down those inches there. We know every inch matters here on the SGPN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. And those pickoff rules, too. It should only help the speedsters there. So, yeah, this definitely is quite possibly the best place for Trey Turner to be, even if you include the Dodgers, because the Dodgers have more of those veteran guys that are getting up there, and Trey Turner is going to get on base, and then you have Hoskins, Schwarber, Realmuto, Castellanos, Bohm behind him, Harper once he gets healthy. So yeah, this is, and he'll have a chance to hit in some runs too, because even the bottom of the order, you got Bryson Stott, who had a pretty good playoffs there, a few good at bats, like 10 pitch at bats, Brandon Marsh, who was much better for the Phillies after the trade. I think they figured out something with his swing. So yeah, Trey Turner here. ESPN has him, I think it was like 12th overall, 16th overall, top shortstop, obviously. I think I'll take him in the first round just to get shortstop off my plate and just get it out of the way. Cause shortstop is usually a shallower position. And you know, if I can get Trey Turner on the Phillies, I will.
Oh, and speaking of the anti Josh Bell, I mean, I really hope it is. I hope Lars Nootbaar and Josh Bell kind of cancel each other out. But so Josh Bell was really fucking bad in high leverage situations. Trey Turner is the complete opposite. Check this out. In low leverage situations, Trey Turner hit 277. In medium leverage situations, Trey Turner hit 292. And in 62 high leverage at bats, Trey Turner hit 435 on the year. Like, that is insane. Like, to be able to just get better in the more serious the situation when you're up to the plate, like, it just makes the entire game so much more fun to watch, because when Trey's in the lineup, you're never out of it. And especially, I don't know how I feel. I'm kind of rambling here. I don't know how I feel about him batting two. I love the thought of 40 home run Schwarber hitting number one, but I feel like Turner's got to hit. He's got to hit leadoff in that lineup. Like, he's too fast, too good of a hitter. He gets on base too damn much to take those ABs away from him, as few as it may be. I don't want to take any at bats away from a guy like Trey Turner.
Okay, I thought we were going to have breaking news here on the podcast, because I got a notification from an app that, also, John Heyman tweeted 5:20 p.m. Eastern time, Aaron Judge appears headed to Giants. He corrected himself 3 minutes later, Aaron Judge appears headed to Giants, and corrected himself 4 minutes later, Giants say they had not heard on Aaron Judge. My apologies for jumping the gun. So we had some breaking, I mean, we had some breaking news, Aaron Judge news. I don't know if he was just saving a draft, but that would have been crazy. Maybe that's a sign that it's close, but yeah, I mean, we'll discuss that when it happens. We've discussed it before. I still think he's using the Giants just for leverage, but maybe the Yankees are going to balk at that and be like, okay, go to San Fran and lose. So we'll see what happens with Judge. But yeah, Turner, I think you have to hit him top of the order. I could see him being definitely another 2020 season next year. Maybe a 25-25, if he can get his power up, that would be probably a career high. I don't have his full career stats pulled up here. I can get it real quick. He had 28 home runs in 2021 between the Nationals and Dodgers. You know what? Maybe they're going to have to pitch to him. They don't want to put him on base in front of that top, in front of those big bats. So, yeah, I'm really high on Trey Turner, and it's not just because I'm a Phillies fan. This is just a fantastic lineup, a fantastic spot for him. So being a Phillies fan helps, but like, this is just fantastic.
And I know we have mentioned Trey Turner in the past. We've done a couple of free agent shows so far. And we did talk about how you really can't you can't quantify what it's going to be like for Trey Turner to play with his, I'm just going to call him his best friend, mm-hmm. Bryce Harper either. Like, he's going to have so much fucking fun playing. And when you're having fun doing this type of shit that you enjoy, that is going to make him play so much better next season. Like, not to take everything back to the Mariners all the time, but Julio Rodriguez, prime example. That kid was born to have fun playing baseball. He has fun playing baseball, which makes him play better baseball, which makes everybody around him have more fun playing baseball, which made everybody else play better baseball. And it rolls downhill. And I think the same sort of thing is going to happen with Trey Turner and Bryce Harper next year. They're going to be so in love with the fact that they're both on the same team again that it's going to make everybody else play well. And you guys don't have a bad hitter in your lineup 1 through 9. So like Alec Bohm hitting like 7th is wild to me. Like he's somebody that I would bat like 2 or 6 or somewhere right around there. But like having him all the way down like 7, 8, that's nuts.
Yeah, he was hitting second or third for a big portion of the season. So yeah, I mean, Bohm can improve, Stott should improve, Castellanos isn't as bad as he was this year. If he settles in, it's going to be quite the murderer's row.
Yeah, and I mean, he's somebody that I always target first round of fantasy drafts. I don't want to say I would take him 1-1 next year, but if I have a top 5 pick, I'm taking Trey Turner as long as he's still there. Like, he's, for me, he's that good. Besides Bobby Witt Jr., there's not really anybody in the league that I see that can hit for that kind of average with that kind of power and hit as many doubles he has and steal 40 bases. And he's the all around ultimate fantasy tool, and I need him in my lineup next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree there. I agree.
Yeah. Hey, you sound like
both ways.
But I think that's going to do it for this episode. We kind of covered all the major free agency additions that have happened thus far. There's been a few smaller ones, and we'll get to those at some point. But hopefully by the time we record again, Aaron Judge is signed somewhere, and we can have a little fun talking about Judge and just how many home runs he can hit next season. But for now, as always, go follow us in the Discord. It's always jumping over there. There's so many fucking people in Discord talking all the time. We need more people in there talking about baseball with us, especially it being in the heart of the winter meetings right now. SG.PN/Discord. Also, make sure you follow us on Spotify at SG.PN/FantasyBaseballS and on Apple Podcasts at SG.PN/FantasyBaseball. And you can also follow us on Twitter at SGPNFanBaseball. We're all over the place. You can find us fucking everywhere. You can find me on Twitter at Buhlocke, BUHHLOCKAYE.
Yeah, and I am Ryan Gilbert. You can follow me on Twitter at RGilbertSOP.
And as always, we will catch you guys next time.
Peace.